The new movie, Crimson Gold, is a tour through Tehran from the point of view of a pizza delivery man. It's the latest from Iranian director Jafar Panahi. The movie has been banned in Iran. Tonight it has its U.S. premiere at the New York Film Festival, but its Iranian director won't be there. He refuses to travel to the United States. David Darcy reports.
Jafar Panahi has been called a street filmmaker. He shoots his films on the streets of Tehran, often at night, regardless of the light. He almost always works with non-professional actors, and his stories come from everyday situations or from the lives of outcasts, like prostitutes or criminals, or in this film, a pizza delivery man. This isn't official cinema, nor, Panahi says, is it politically critical cinema.
I want to show the truth, so the regulations in Iran says if I go to a house and I want to shoot the people inside, even if they're husband and wife, the wife should wear a veil. So that means I can't shoot the truth because when, like husbands and wives, they don't live like that at home. So that makes me to go out in the street and shoot the street.
In Crimson Gold, Panahi's camera follows Hussein through the streets on his scooter. Hussein is overweight, his manners aren't too good, and even if he had the ambition to do more than deliver pizzas, he's got an attitude, so he steals. Crimson Gold opens with what's also the film's ending. Hussein kills the owner of a jewelry store, then, as bystanders gather, he shoots himself. Hussein's an Iranian everyman, delivering a product of globalization that even Iran can't keep out, says Jamshid Akrami, who teaches a seminar on international film at Columbia University Teachers College. He says the film is more about the city that Hussein observes than about Hussein's individual fate, which we learn at the beginning.
Panahi doesn't want us to get involved in the intricacies of the character and the character development and develop a sense of identification with him and see what happens to him. He tells us this is what happens to him. He's dead. And by showing us his death, now he's diverting our attention to more important issue, which is what this guy is going through, like a walking dead, throughout the rest of the film, is the kind of reality that every Iranian is facing as they go through their difficult lives in Iran.
He is an excuse for us to show the road traveled from southern part of Tehran, which is the poor area, to the northern part of Tehran, which is the very rich area. And we're using him as an excuse to travel this line from south to north and show the differences of the levels of the social life in Tehran.
Crimson Gold hasn't even been screened for the press in Iran. Iranian officials told Panahi his film is too grim. Unlike the Iranian public, Americans can see Crimson Gold. They just won't see its director, who won't be at the film's U.S. premiere because he refused to be fingerprinted, which the U.S. requires of all Iranians applying for visas.
They act like a certain nation are killers, and they want fingerprints, and they want my photo taken. I will not take that.
In October of 2000, when Panahi's film The Circle played at the New York Film Festival, the festival got the State Department to waive its fingerprinting requirement. Panahi came to the festival premiere but did not return to promote the film's commercial release the following April because he did not want to go through the process of being fingerprinted or avoiding being fingerprinted. Then, while changing planes at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York in April of 2001, Panahi was told he needed a transit visa to continue on his trip from Asia to Latin America. Panahi refused to apply.
And even for staying in the transit, they wanted my fingerprints, and also they wanted to take my photo. I refused, and they arrested me for 16 hours in the airport, and they chained my hands to my belt and to my ankles, and they held me for 16 hours like that, and they deported me back, and they didn't let me go through.
Panahi's detention was covered widely in the media. At the time, U.S. immigration officials said he was detained for refusing to comply with standard procedure that applies to anyone from Iran. Last year, Iranian director Abbas Kiarostami declined to come to his film's premiere at the New York Film Festival because he didn't want to go through a lengthy investigation. In Jafar Panahi's case, New York Film Festival director Richard Pena says he understands Panahi's sensitivity. He questions the U.S. government's position.
Here's a situation of someone who clearly has taken a courageous stand for expression, for liberty, for many things that we as Americans should support. And rather than encouraging someone like this, we punish him along with everybody else. So because of that, it really does set up the image that really what the U.S. is against is Islam or Muslims and not particular people who hold particular political positions. So to reject an Abbas Kiarostami or to reject a Jafar Panahi, even if one says, well, they're not rejected, they just have to go through a laborious process of 3 months of investigation and then fingerprinting, is really, I believe, cutting off your nose to spite your face.
The international recognition Jafar Panahi's films have received shields him, the director says, from the kind of persecution he might face at home if he were unknown. Panahi says his goal now is to have Crimson Gold seen where it took place.
I would really like my film to be shown in Iran more than any other countries. But that doesn't mean that I would say yes to cutting and censoring my movie. So I'll take my movie out of country and show it in other countries in hoping that people might see it in Iran from satellite or any other way.
Critics are calling Crimson Gold the best Iranian film of 2003. Since it hasn't been shown in any theater there, it's disqualified from consideration for the Iranian submission for the Best Foreign Language Oscar. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.